Amen. This morning we are considering another one of those little things that we find in God's holy word. This morning I want us to consider the words of verse 8 of John chapter 21. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, about, as it were, 200 cubits. 200 cubits is about 100 yards. Dragging the net with fishes. The opening verse of this 21st chapter of John's Gospel informs us, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. The Sea of Tiberias is the same as the Sea of Galilee. We know that from John chapter 6 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. When you take the two names that are used to describe the same sea, we find that the names mean the same thing. Tiberias and Galilee mean a circle. This is very interesting, because you recall it was at the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Tiberias, that the Lord Jesus called some of his disciples. Some of his first disciples were called to follow him at the Sea of Galilee. For we read in John, or rather in Matthew chapter 4, in Matthew 4, and there in that verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway left they their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. And so it was at the Sea of Galilee that they were called by the Lord to be the Lord's followers, to be the Lord's disciples. Now what do we find? We find that those same disciples mentioned there in Matthew 4, they're back at the Sea of Galilee. They're back at the same place, the same location where the Lord called them. So what do we find? We find that for these disciples, their lives had gone in a complete circle. They started out at Galilee to serve the Lord, and now they're back at Galilee. Only they're not serving the Lord this time. Their lives had gone a complete circle. How is it that for some believers, their lives seem to always go in circles? They never seem to advance very far. They will go forward for a while, and then they slip back. And they find themselves, as it were, back where they started. So it was with the disciples. After 3 years or more with the Lord, walking with him and serving him, they're right back where they started out, at the Sea of Galilee, the place that means a circle. It was Simon Peter, one of the disciples whom the Lord called first, because he called Simon Peter and Andrew. It was Simon Peter who said to the others at the Sea of Tiberias, "I go a-fishing." The words there really mean, "I'm off to fish. I go a-fishing." And the others said unto him, "We also go with thee." So what do we find? We find that the disciples are back doing the same thing they were doing before the Lord called them. They'd gone in a complete circle. They had gone back to their old ways, to their old habits, to their old employment. They'd been called by the Lord to be fishers of men. What were they doing now? They were back fishing for fish. They'd stepped out of the will of God. They'd gone back. They'd gone back to their old ways. And for those disciples, we read in the verse 3, they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Well, that's not surprising. You see, whenever you leave the Lord out of your life, it's not going to be a very fruitful life. And for these disciples, it was a night of nothing. And for the Christian, for the believer who goes back, if you like, who slides backward, and they find themselves back where they were before the Lord called them, everything in a spiritual sense will be night. Everything will be dark. It'll be a night, and it'll be nothing. For these disciples, they felt the pull of the old life. But they also experienced the poverty of the old life because they caught nothing. It was then that the stranger of Galilee appeared on the shore, and he called out to them and said, "Children, have you any meat?" In verse 5, they answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. What a change takes place when we put the Lord in control of our lives. When we obey His word. The disciples soon discovered that. But I want you to notice something else. We are told that in the morning Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They had been with the Lord for over 3 years. They had walked with Him. They had talked with Him. He had ministered to them. But here the Lord became a stranger to them. They didn't know Him. They didn't recognize Him. And you see, believer, that's the way it is. Whenever a believer, when a child of God goes back to his old ways, then the Lord becomes a stranger to him. For when he walked with the Lord was a familiar friend. He was in fellowship and communion with the Lord, speaking to him as friend with friend. But whenever that same believer strays from the side of the Lord, is no longer following the Lord, then lo and behold, soon the Lord becomes a stranger to him. There's no fellowship. There's no communion. There's no conversation with the Lord. He's away from the Lord, and the Lord has become a stranger. When a Christian is in fellowship with the Lord, then they recognize the Lord's hand in everything that they do. And the one disciple who lay on the breast of the Savior was John. And whenever a great draught of fishes was brought in, who was the one who recognized the Lord first? It was John. John recognized the hand of the Lord was at work in the draught of fishes. John was the one who lived closest to the Savior. And when for a moment he didn't recognize the Lord was a stranger, whenever he saw the draught of fishes, he said to Peter, "It is the Lord." He recognized the hand of the Lord was at work. And you know, believer, the Christian, the child of God, who lives closest to the Lord will recognize the hand of the Lord in everything that he does and everything that happens. They will see the hand of the Lord at work. May not be able to understand, but nevertheless they will be able to say, "It is the Lord. This is the Lord's doing." Job was a man who lived close to the Lord. We would all agree with that. Job lived close to the Lord. There was not a man like him in all the earth. Yet, when the Lord, or whenever Job lost everything he had, you recall what Job said? "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In other words, Job was able to see the hand of the Lord in all his losses. And whenever things happen that we cannot fathom and we cannot understand, we ought to stand back and look for the hand of the Lord. We need to look for the hand of the Lord in everything that takes place in our lives. And we have to say, "This is the Lord's doing. The Lord has brought me this way. The Lord has brought me into this valley. The Lord has brought me into this night time experience," or whatever it is. John was the one who recognized the hand of the Lord at work because he was the one who was closest to the Lord. When the disciples did cast the net, as the Lord had instructed them to do so, on the right side of the ship, we're told, they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. It was then that the other disciples came in a little ship for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. I want us to look at those words. The other disciples came in a little ship. What did that little ship represent that day at Galilee? What did that little ship represent to those disciples? Well, first of all, that little ship represented the past. It represented the past. We have already seen how the disciples first met their Lord and Master at the Sea of Galilee. The Lord met with Simon, Peter, and Andrew. And we are told they were casting a net into the sea. He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee his father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. So what did Simon, Peter and Andrew, James and John, what did they leave that day the Lord called them? They left their ship. They left their net and their ships. In other words, when they left their nets and they left their ships, they were surrendering their all to the Lord. They had forsaken all, and they had gone to follow Christ. But we find now in John 21, they're back into the ship again. And as they would sit in that ship, they would have remembered, surely, the last time they occupied that ship. The last time they were near that ship was the time that they had forsaken the ship to follow Christ. But now they've gone back. And that little ship represented their past. And what do we find? We find those disciples had gone back into their past. To their past life and to their past employment and to their past labors. To be a true disciple of the Lord is to live a life of surrender. Surrender to the word of the Lord. Surrender to the will of the Lord. Surrender to the ways of the Lord. That's what it is to be a disciple. It means giving up all for the Lord and giving in to Him in every aspect of our lives. You remember those who said they would follow the Lord, and one of them says, I must go home first and bury my father. The Lord said, let the dead bury their dead. You take up your cross and follow me. In other words, that man who said he wanted to be a disciple of the Lord, he had to be prepared to forsake all. Let the dead bury their dead. But you take up your cross and follow me. Simon and Andrew straightway left their nets and followed him. James and John, they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And then they were called a second time. You turn to Luke chapter 5. And what do we find there? We find the disciples have gone back again to fishing. Because the Lord had to call them a second time. And in Luke chapter 5, we read in verse 2, the Lord saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And the Lord then told Simon to cast out into the deep, to go out into the deep, and to let down their nets. And we recall how Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Notice, the Lord said, let down your nets, plural. What did Peter say? Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You see, he wasn't fully trusting the Lord. He had labored all night and caught nothing. What was the point in letting down nets? Well, just let down one net. That'll be enough. And we are told when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. Now we go down to verse 10. And so was, verse 9, he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, with their partners, with Simon. And Jesus saith unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought the ship to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all. They forsook their father, they forsook their mother, they forsook their friends, they forsook their nets, they forsook their ship, they forsook home. And they followed Christ. But what do we see involving this incident at the Sea of Tiberias? We find that they're back in the ship again, verse 3 and verse 8. They've gone back to their old ways. And those ships would have reminded them, spoken to them, of the day they had surrendered all to the Lord. But they're not surrendered now. In many ways they are backslidden. They are no longer surrendered to their master. For they have gone back to their old ways and to their old work. They had at first forsaken their ship to follow Christ. But what have they done now? Now they have forsaken Christ to go back to their ships. For we read then, all the disciples forsook him and fled, Matthew 26 and verse 56. They all forsook him. And they went back to the ships that they had once forsaken. That's the backslider. Backslider goes back to his old ways. To his old work. Goes back to doing the things he did before the Lord said, follow me. And they go back, as it were, to their own little ships. To the things they once did and the things they once said and the way they once lived. They've gone back to their little ships. Oh, they had once said, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. But when they've gone back to their little ship, they're no longer surrendered. They're no longer living for the Lord. They're no longer serving the Lord. So that little ship represented their past. Their surrender. But also speak of their service. When the Lord met the fishermen at the Sea of Galilee, he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew 4:19. And later he said to Simon in Luke 5:10, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." So the day that Simon and the others forsook their ships was the day that they were called to be fishers of men. They were called to be soul winners. There were souls that needed to hear the gospel. There were souls that needed to be saved. And listen, no greater honor has been bestowed upon man than to be called by the Lord to serve the Master and to win souls. In his book, The Soul Winner, the great preacher C.H. Spurgeon said this: "Soul winning is the chief business of the Christian minister. Indeed, it should be the main pursuit of every true believer." That's the business the Lord had called these men to be involved in. Soul winning. That's why they were called to leave their nets and leave their ship. But where are they now in John 21? They're back in their ship. What about their service? What about their service? The Lord said, "From henceforth thou shalt catch men. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." That was their service. But when they went back to that ship and got into that little ship and started to fish for fish, they had abandoned their service for the Lord. They were no longer engaged or involved in serving the Lord. They were no longer involved in winning souls for Christ. When you think of it, listen, when you think of it, when the Lord called them, they had abandoned their ship. But now they have abandoned their service. We take it a step further. They had abandoned souls. Now we see what that little ship represents. It represents a great deal. For that little ship, occupied once again by the disciples, represents a return to their old ways and the abandoning of the Lord's service and the abandoning of souls who needed to hear the gospel and needed to be told by Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter, in chapter 2, in verse 20, Peter, he knows what he's talking about. This is Peter's epistle. He's speaking from experience. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 20, Peter says, "If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Peter at the Sea of Tiberias had again become entangled in his old life. And Peter would have known what he was talking about whenever he said that their latter end is worse than with them than the beginning. After all, Peter had gone out that night and fished all night and caught nothing. It was a night of nothing for Peter. There wasn't much joy there. There wasn't much happiness there. No wonder Peter said that the latter end for them is worse than the beginning. If that little ship represents the past, then it must speak to us not only of their surrender and of their service, but of their steps. Remember again when the Lord first called his disciples at Galilee, he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me. There's their steps. But they weren't following Christ when they went back to the little ship. That little ship represents their past when they had abandoned all and followed the Lord. Now that they're once again back in the little ship, they're not following the Lord. You see, to be a true disciple of the Lord, to be a true Christian, we must follow Him. Follow me. In John chapter 12, the words of the Lord Himself with regard to those who follow Him. In John 12 and verse 26 He says, "If any man serve Me, let him follow Me. And where I am, there shall also My servant be. If any man serve Me, him will My Father honor." Look at those words again. If any man serve Me, let him follow Me. Well, the disciples were neither serving nor following. And where I am, there shall also My servant be. Well, they weren't there. They weren't following the Lord. They weren't where the Lord was. We sang this morning that hymn that we all love here. "Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee calling, come, follow Me. And we see where Thy footsteps falling lead us to Thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go." Disciples weren't doing that. When they heard the words of Peter, when he said, "I go fishing," and the other disciples say, "We also go with Thee," they weren't walking in the footsteps of Christ. They were not following the Lord. No longer were they following the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Believer, we cannot be true disciples of the Lord unless we follow Him. And if we're following Him, the Lord says, wherever I am, there shall also my servant be. If we are like Peter, before his fall, was following the Lord, yes, afar off. He was not where he ought to be. When we follow the Lord afar off, then we're not where we ought to be. Follow, I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere I will follow on. Follow, I will follow Jesus everywhere He leads me. I will follow on. But if we allow the little ships to come between us and the Lord, we're not following Him. The disciples had allowed the little ship to come between them and the Lord. That little ship represented their past. Their past surrender, their past service. It also not only represented their past steps, but the disciples had gone back to their little ship. There's their smallness. You know, often that's the argument that the backslider in heart will use. Things they had once embraced in their unsaved days, they had turned their back upon when the Lord saved them. And they felt compelled in their own heart to serve the Lord and do what they could for Him. But then when the heart grows cold and they begin to slip back and they begin to follow the Lord afar off, they start to dabble again in the things they had once forsaken. And it starts off with little things. And they try to convince themselves and salve their conscience by saying, well, it's only a little matter. It's only a little sin. I can still be a follower of the Lord. I can still enjoy communion with Him because this is only a little sin that I'm delving into. Well, for the disciples, it was a little ship. But they couldn't possibly say they were in fellowship with Christ. They couldn't possibly say they were serving the Lord. They couldn't possibly say they were surrendered to the Lord. Oh, it might only have been a little ship. It might have been something quite small. But they were out of touch with the Lord and they were out of step with the Lord. And whenever we allow little things to come in, that is, things that we regard in our eyes as being little and small and unimportant. That's not the issue. Whether we regard certain sins to be little or small, they're all sin. And it's not a matter of whether a thing is little or large. It's a matter of whether it is right or wrong. Remember, we have already considered the words of the Song of Solomon 2:15. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little sins, we want to use that term. It is the little sins that spoil our fellowship and our walk with God. The little things. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 1. the apothecary, or little fly in the ointment of the apothecary, will send forth a stinking savour, so doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honour. If a man has a reputation of being a wise man, that's his reputation. People look up to him as a wise man, but if that wise man delves into foolish things and a little folly, he'll no longer be respected and looked up to as a wise man. His folly has ruined his testimony. His folly has ruined his witness as a wise man, his reputation. Just like a little fly. A dead fly in the ointment sends forth a stinking savour. Just a little fly. Just a little sin will spoil and ruin our service and our fellowship and communion with the Lord. This was just a little ship. But look at the harm that it did. For the disciples were not fishing for souls. They were not going out into the highways and the byways and spreading the gospel net, as it were, endeavoring to catch souls for the Lord. They were just back at their old ways, forgotten about their surrender and their service and their steps. They've been called to follow the Lord. That little ship represented the past. That little ship also represented their plan. Their plan was to go a-fishing. Their plan was to abandon the Lord's service. Their plan was to abandon the preaching of the gospel. Their plan was to abandon souls. That's what it was. That's what it all comes down to. That's what this little ship speaks to us of. They went forth and entered into a ship. Immediately, verse 3. There you have their decision. The disciples made a decision to go back to their old ways, to go back to their fishing. Notice that it was an impulsive decision. They acted on impulse. Peter said, "I go a-fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with thee." Just they acted on impulse. They had deserted and forsaken their Lord. What else were they to do? The Lord had told them, when the shepherd has taken, the sheep will be scattered. And that's exactly what happened. And Peter had denied the Lord with oaths and curses. And all the other disciples forsook the Lord. So what else was there for them to do? Peter says, "I go a-fishing. I'm off fishing." And they say unto him, "We also go with thee." The pull of the old life was still there. The pull, the draw of the fishing nets and the fishing boats and the thrill of catching fish, that draw, that desire was still there. Those things still drew the disciples. We apply that to the spiritual life. And this tells us that the root of sin is still in the heart of every believer. The root of sin is not eradicated. There is no such a thing this side of eternity as total or complete sanctification. Oh, I know there are those who claim that. There are those who claim to be totally sanctified. That means they claim that they never sin. If they make that claim, that is a sin in itself. Because that's the claim of pride. And that's, pride is a sin. So they condemn themselves by making that claim. If any man say he has no sin, he is a liar. That's what John said. But the fact that the draw, the pull of the sea and the fishing and the boats was still in the heart of these disciples remind us that the draw, the pull of sin is still in the heart of the Christian. The root of the matter is still there. And that root of sin will still be there till the day we die. That's our battle, isn't it, with the world, the flesh, and the devil. The flesh still wants to run after sin, and we have to battle it. Isn't that what Paul said? Wasn't he very conscious of the sin? Romans chapter 7 and verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. These are the words of a mighty man of God, a spiritual giant, a minister of the gospel, a theologian, a missionary. One who was able to say, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And yet, these are the words from the same man. The law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I would say Paul knew what he was talking about. The disciples were not following the Lord as they had been called to do. So as a result, they turned back to their old ways. The draw, the pull of the fishing was still there. And so it was that place they went back to. And Psalm 44. Psalm 44 and verse 17. All this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back. Neither have our steps declined from the way. The psalmist was aware there was always the danger of him going back. That's what he's saying. But here he was able to say, our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from the way. The danger is always there. The danger of going back. The danger of slipping backwards. No one faced greater trial than the Lord Jesus. And we read in Isaiah 50. In Isaiah 50 and verses 5 and 6, you read the foregoing verses and it deals with the Lord and His sufferings. But then in verse 5 it says, "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. I turned not back." Let us be like Christ and ask for grace. And turn not back. I'll have to finish soon. But you notice that their decision was immediate. It was immediate. Because they entered into the ship, we're told, immediately. They didn't give it much thought. No thought about their labors, fishers of men. No thought about their losses, how they would lose out with God. No thought about their life. The life they surrendered to the Lord when they forsook all and followed Him. No thought for the Lord Himself who had called them to be His servants. No thought. They just went immediately. Believer, before we turn back, let's give it some thought. You notice their digression. They were called to follow the Lord, but they digressed. There was no such digression in the life of Paul. For he said, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." The disciples had digressed from the work they were called to do. Neither did our dear Savior digress from the work that He was called to do. For Isaiah 50 and verse 7, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face as a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." He set His face as a flint. And in His high priestly prayer, He was able to say, "I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work Thou gavest me to do." He didn't digress. Let us not digress either. Let us not go back to the little ships. Let us not go back to our old ways. Let us not digress from the path the Lord has set out for us. A number of years ago, I saw in a magazine what was called a resolve for the particular year that the magazine was printed. I was really impressed by the words of that resolve, and I printed them out, and I have them now in the minister's room. I like to read them from time to time. It keeps me focused on what the Lord has called me to do. I'll read the words to you. "Keep about the work that God has given you. Do not flinch because the lion roars. Do not stop to stone the devil's dogs. Do not fill away your time chasing the devil's rabbits. Do your work. Let liars lie. Let counsels resolve. Let the devil do his worst. But see to it that nothing hinders you from fulfilling the work that God has given you to do. He has not commanded you to get rich. He has never bidden you to defend your character. He has not set you at work to contradict falsehood about yourself, which Satan and his servants may start to peddle. If you do those things, you will do nothing else. You will be at work for yourself and not for the Lord. Keep at your work. Let your aim be as steady as a star. You may be assaulted, wronged, insulted, slandered, wounded, and rejected. You will not be the first. But see to it, with steadfast determination, with unfaltering zeal, that you pursue the great purpose of your life until you too can say, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. May that be the resolve of us all. Let's never return to the little ships. Those little things, those things we forsook when the Lord said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, our God and loving Father, we do thank Thee for the instruction of Thy word. Lord, for sounding the warning about those little ships that lie there waiting in the bay. There they are, just waiting for us to return to them again. Lord, keep us going on with God. May we not return to the old ways, even to those little ships. But, O Lord, may we resolve before Thee and by Thy grace to finish the work that Thou hast given us to do. Write Thy precious word upon our hearts. Be with us now, Lord, as we part the one from the other. Return us, Lord, to Thy house this evening to learn more of Thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.